Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everyone here again this Sabbath. We know that some people say we did look at it in Bible history in our Sabbath school lesson this morning, talking about history and things that happened. But we know that the Bible, beginning to the end, is about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is going to do for his people. But this second return, some people say it's going to come one way. Other people say it's going to be another way. But the Bible, the exact word of God, tells it just how it is going to happen. We don't have to guess about it. There's going to be no mistake when he comes that who he is and what is going to happen. With a shout and with a trumpet blast, we're going to hear and see the Lord Jesus Christ coming. So let us have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, yes, we are your children, adopted into your family through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ransom price paid, so that we might have eternal life and that we might have it with the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, to be able to walk the pathway that we are to walk here upon this earth, so that we may be led into the kingdom, that we will walk the streets of gold one day soon. And we have Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer, to be thankful for that, Father. So we know that we can thank him through the life that we may lead in being Christ-like in all of our dealings, in all of our lives. So, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit is the one that we allow to guide us and direct us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the scriptural authority of his second coming. We have absolute surety that Jesus is coming. Some don't believe it and others do. But we know that what everything that is said about the second advent will stand and can stand if it is supported by the word of God. We know that as we read the word of God, we learn of his first coming and we also know of his second coming ahead of time. And it can fail, but we know that it will not fail because it is supported by the divine word of God. And it's an infallible word that we have the assurance of. The scriptures tells us where the beginning should be. Christ was, Christ is, and Christ shall be forever and ever. He was with God. The Word was with God before the beginning. Before there was any flesh, man become flesh. And he came and he dwelt among us so that we may know him and know the Father. And we know that that Word shall be with us again because he ascended into heaven and that he will come back the second time because he has promised that. The second return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it true or is it false? If it's true, it's because the Word of God says so. If it's false, it's because its origin comes from man, which is fallible. And we just know that we can thank God this morning. We can thank our Heavenly Father that it is true. We have no doubt about it. And we need to be able to get that message out to the world. Christ came into this world, the incarnate Son of God. And his incarnation guaranteed and made absolutely certain that every step that he took and he would take. It was impossible for Christ to take upon himself human form and remain in that form without his incarnation and the crucifixion. He had to come that way to be born of the Virgin, and then to be crucified. And some doubt the birth of Jesus. But yet, they admit that he died on Calvary. So I don't know how they can really see that. They don't believe in the origin birth of Christ, but to believe that he was crucified on Calvary. And he was crucified on Calvary because the Holy Spirit tells us that. And the Holy Spirit conceived him in the womb of the Virgin. And we know that he would not have been crucified if he had been born of human parents. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is guaranteed to us. And that forced the crucifixion upon Calvary because of his coming. He even had to be unclothed before he could be placed on the cross. The crucifixion guarantees his resurrection, and his resurrection guaranteed his ascension. He said in John chapter 14, verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And our first verse for today is Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. We know that we weren't there at that time. We were not able to see that. But we can take that with assurance because of the infallibility of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, through him, was written these words, and we are to believe them. And first, Jesus Christ was. He came the first time according to prophecy. And so why not the second time according to prophecy? Prophecy was correct the first time, and it was infallible up to the utmost minute detail. And so why not the second time? It will be done the same way. It's the absolute belief of his first advent as given in the Holy Scriptures long before it happened. So if it speaks of the second advent as absolute belief, so why shouldn't we believe the first advent? Because if the second advent isn't going to happen, we'd have to throw out that first advent. And we know that what would have happened if that had not come by. And these prophecies was written by witnesses of old, and they were accepted by God's children down through each generation. And today, we are to accept these truths to be the infallible Word of God. They speak about the same person in both Advents, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And some of the things about the first coming is in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, at Bethlehem. They even foretold where he was going to be born. And there are so many prophecies to speak about his first advent that we can't go over with them all today, but let's look at a few of them. Zechariah, there's many in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. I won't read all of these, but I'll tell you what they say about it. Verse 9 there speaks of his entering Jerusalem. Zechariah 13, verse 7. Zechariah 13, verse 7. Speaks of his being forsaken by his disciples. Chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. Speaks of it being sold for 30 pieces of silver, and then the potter's field being bought with this silver. Psalms 41, 9, and chapter 55, verses 12 through 14, speaks of the betrayal. Isaiah tells that he would be spit upon and scourged. Exodus and Psalms, that not a bone would be broken. Isaiah chapter 52 tells of his suffering, his rejection, his patience, and his death. Yes, we know that it's with children of old. The Lord had to have patience with his people. And he has to have that same patience with us today. And all these prophecies telling about his first coming, his first advent, was fulfilled to the letter. And it's based on the infallible word of God that we can all, that we can trust. So if there's no belief in the second coming as taught in the scriptures, then we might as well throw out the prophecies of the first advent. We have to take the Bible as a whole and to believe it, because it is the word of God. And in John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, he is. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we know that that is where he is now. With a surety, we know that our Christ is at the right hand of God. He's making intercession for you and me. The Bible tells us that he would come the first time, tells us where he is now, and it tells us what he is doing now. And then he tells us what he is going to do, that he is coming for his church and for his people. We have to take that on faith. Faith in the belief of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, that he is coming. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And one day soon we will be with our Lord for eternity, never more to be parted. And the scriptures teach that Jesus Christ is coming the second time. His coming will be audible. Everybody will hear it. His return will be visible. There's nothing going to be in secret at that time. They shall see the Son of Man coming, Matthew 24:30. Every eye will see him, Revelation 1:7. Always wonder how that's going to happen with the earth as round as it is and everything else, and whether the earth will be rolled out like a scroll or not, we don't know. But every eye shall see him. And we know that at one time, every person will bow down to him, even Satan. And when he does come, we know that that will be the end of human history as we know it. So we need to study Matthew chapter 24, verse 3 and beyond, because it gives the description of his coming. And then Matthew chapter 25 gives us three aspects of his return and shows us that there will be a testing for his people. And that's the parables that are given there. In the second advent, that doctrine is our hope, that we may be able to have a life after this earth is changed and made new. And that's with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a scripture reading this morning, Hebrews 9:28. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. 1 Corinthians 1:7, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope. The second coming is visible. Personal appearance of Christ to his people. Right now we know that the world is trying to destroy Christianity if it can. And to do that, they have to destroy the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we know that we can point to the empty tomb, because Christ is sufficient. We look to the empty tomb and we know that the last enemy that will be conquered is death. Christ arose from the dead, became the first fruit, and that guarantee that you and I will arise also and share in that resurrection and power one day soon. And if we are born again Christians today, and through the experience that we are living with the Lord Jesus Christ, we can attest to that fact that Jesus Christ arose. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 26. Familiar chapter to us. And throughout there it shows the perfectly proven resurrection of Christ and makes sure of his ascension. His ascension is the absolute guarantee of the second one, that I will come again. We have absolute surety that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He ascended to the Father, and he is at the right hand of the Father now. But he's also our high priest, making advocate's plea for us. And he will come as a King of kings and a Lord of lords. Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And one day soon we will see that. It's going to be devastation just before that happens, because the destructions that we're having now are nothing compared to what's going to happen when Jesus comes the second time. The earth is going to be utterly destroyed. But yet we will be able to see him coming in all of his brightness and all of his light, with the retinue of angels with him. And we that are alive will be caught up with the dead, to be evermore with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our hope. And we as God's children today need to be watching for his soon return. Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44. And the doctrine of the second coming needs to produce sacrifice. It is to produce love and consolation. And the life of Christ is to be shown in the redeemed, that you and I, and that we need to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. We must preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, so that it will produce conviction in us, conversion, and regeneration in all of us, in God's children. And in the Old Testament, from Eden to Calvary, God's people had an altar. And there's three infallible facts about it. First one, every time a sacrifice was made, it tested to the depravity of man. Second, every time a sacrifice was made, it testified to the inefficiency and to the weakness and failure of the law to save. And number three, every time a sacrifice was made, it pointed to the sacrifice to be made on Calvary. And that was for you and I, for everyone, for the Lord to take the sins of the world upon himself, to die with a broken heart. And in the New Testament, his sacrifice on Calvary is a clear, infallible evidence of his certain physical, visible, and tangible return. He's coming in person. He is coming in glory. He is coming for his saints, for you and I. We shall see him. We shall know him. And we will dwell with him on earth forever and ever. That's the assurance that we can have. And we can take that to the bank. We know that. The old philosopher Plato had a saying, he's quoted as saying, "It is necessary that a lawgiver be sent from heaven to instruct. Oh, how greatly I desire to see that man and who he is." And that should be also our great desire, to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that true assurance that he will come soon. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his declaration, "I will come quickly," is the sure word of God of that great second coming of our Savior, that he is coming in all of his glory, and that we may be able to participate in it. If you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Thomas, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are these who have not seen and yet have believed. John chapter 20, verse 29. That we have believed and that he is coming for you and I. Our gracious God, yes, we know that darkening veil is still there. But like the veil that's torn from top to bottom, we know that deafening veil will be taken away soon. That there will be no more blockage between us and you. That we will be able to see our Lord and Savior face to face. That we will be spending eternity with him. And that we'll be studying the plan of redemption forever, for eternity. All to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One day soon, Father, we pray and thank thee that that is our blessed hope. In Jesus' precious name, amen.